Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpvc.org.
Turn over to Galatians. There's a scripture that I want to kind of start out with this morning. And for those that may have heard me say similar comments on this before or recently, if you've been in maybe a Vestavia or other places, there's something that I want to draw out of the book of Galatians. In Galatians, well, I'll say it this way. When the Apostle Paul writes a letter, he writes it with very much an intent. There's a point to his message or his letters that he writes to the churches. In any of his writings, you will find that you will find a common theme somewhere in that letter. And it's very important that we, in the, I guess, trying to understand the context, that we follow the theme of the letter. And so here in Galatians, there was a problem. They had a problem. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, he wants to address the end of this problem. I'll start off by reading. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, but you think maybe, but when we think of the word bondage, you may think in the context of the book of Galatians, they had a problem. They had a problem that there were some that wanted, that said you had to be of the circumcision. There were others like the Apostle Paul that said you don't have to be of the circumcision. In fact, the very next verse tells us that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So there was a problem here in Galatians, or at the church at Galatia. And the problem was that they wanted to throw themselves back under bondage. Now, you're saying, well, Brother Derek, what does that have to do with us today? We ourselves can throw our churches back into bondage. We can throw our families back into bondage in many different ways. If you will, this morning, just kind of open your minds with me as we think about this. Scripturally, over in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus would say, "Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So we don't want the yoke of bondage. We want this yoke that only the Lord can give us. Now, this week, we had a great, wonderful blessing that Brother Sam Bryant was able to be on the WDJC on a Thursday of this week. And for those that were able to hear that message, could you hear the liberty that was in his voice versus the constraint or the bondage that was maybe in the voice of those that were interviewing him? The confusion that was there. We have such freedom in this doctrine that we love so much. Amen. This doctrine that we adore, this doctrine that we put on, this doctrine that we, that Christ came and died for the ungodly, for the elect, for those who did not deserve His love, but were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We love that doctrine so much. But yet, I want to ask you a very serious question. I want you to take this heart. How excited are you really about it? How excited are you really about it? When was the last person, other than maybe the Primitive Baptist, that you talked with your doctrine with?
Thank you.
When was the last time you had a friend or a co-worker or a neighbor and just decided, hey, let me tell you about what we do at our church? Let me tell you about this liberty that I have, this freedom, that because I'm not in bondage. It's not about my acceptance. That's a bondage, feeling like you have to do something. It's not about this baptism by this preacher at this church or this specific location. It's not about your confession. It's not how many things you may do or the good things that you may do that will outdo the bad. It's not about any of that. It's by one thing that we love here. And that is the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. There was a problem at Galatia. But see, we can become big victims just like the churches with the seven churches that were in Asia over there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 and 4. We can be just as victim. Think about the church at Ephesus there. He says, I know your works. I know your labors. I know that you have a heart and zeal for me, but you've done one thing wrong. You've forgotten your first love. You've gone through the motions, but you forgot why you were doing it.
Right, yeah.
What about our churches on Sunday morning? Maybe today, I don't know. When you wake up, are you ready to get to church to be with the saints of God? Are you ready? Are you going there prepared to hear a message? Are you going there prepared to sing?
Right.
Right.
Or did you stay up half the night before? You get up, you're like, oh, I'm going to go to church in the morning. Then you get there and your attitude's poor. It's about attitude. It's about attitude. I had this discussion last week when I was over in West Alabama, and I said one of the biggest things that can help our churches today is our attitude about going to church and worshiping with the saints of God.
Right.
Because why? Who are we worshiping? Who are we singing to? Why are we singing? We're singing because our sins have been taken away. Think about that new song over in Revelation that we're going to be singing over there. I guess maybe I can grab it real quick in Revelation 5. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." We come today rejoicing in that truth. And hope for one day that we're going to be around the throne of God singing that very song. That there was one man, our one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and was a perfect sacrifice. Go read the book of Hebrews. I enjoyed listening to my dad over at Flint River summarize the book of Hebrews. I got to listen. Thank you for uploading those messages. Still trying to get through them, Brother Ben. And being able to summarize, there was nothing. He was higher than the angels. He was better than the angels. He was better than Melchizedek. He says there's a rest for your souls in this doctrine if you will believe in Jesus Christ, because the sacrifices there, the blood of bulls and goats, none of that. None of those Old Testament sacrifices could take away the sin of God's people.
Right.
But by one man.
Right.
One man. One spotless lamb came and died for you and me. What great liberty we have. But when was the last time we told somebody about it? I know we say, you know, well, we put it on Facebook. That's good. But sometimes face-to-face interaction, you can't see the emotions that I feel about this truth through Facebook. You can't see that. You can't hear the tone of my voice. You can't hear the compassion in my heart. Talk to people about this truth. And don't be ashamed of it. Think about the Apostle Paul. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He wasn't ashamed, so we should not be ashamed of this glorious gospel. In Galatians, the problem, in chapter 1, we will read over there in verse 6, it says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." There may be some that would pervert our attitudes here. That would want us to be, we may get distressed and discouraged, that says, you know, we're so few people and our churches are slowly dying. So is every other denomination in the Bible Belt. We're all the same. But we got something better. But we got to let people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we would get weak. I mean, as Brother Sam, I wish he was here, because him and Elder Tim McCool and Elder John Melvin and my dad, even on the day that I was charged, when I was ordained, told me one of the biggest, and Brother, I know it was charged, Brother Josh, a few weeks ago. I know Brother Sam said it. Discouragement is like poison to the church and to pastors and to ministers. We can't get discouraged by what we do, because we have liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty,
right.
Corinthians tells us. What about in your homes? Is the Spirit there? One of the, you know, you can read all the statistics you want. One of the biggest problems that we have in this country is that the home is not Christ-centered.
Right.
We come, we may go to church, but when we go home, we turn on NFL Sunday football, we get back to whatever we want to do, we get back to work. We soon forget about the liberty, the service that we may have just had. Because we don't take it back home and talk about the message of God with our children. That's one of the things. I've got one on the way. It's a lot of burden. It's a lot of weight. And for all you that have kids, will probably know about it. Maybe you don't do as good as you ought to about talking to your kids about God at home. My mom told me a story a couple weeks ago. She takes care of the other nieces and nephews that I have. And she was saying one time that Samuel... she tells Samuel all the time, Jesus sees everything that we do. And one day, Adam and Emily were home, and Samuel got in trouble, and he started pouting, and he looked at his mom and said, "Jesus sees everything I do." But it's simple teaching like that, teaching them that young. It doesn't have to, don't wait till they're 13.
Right.
Please don't wait that long. Because I guarantee you, you think you got a headache now at 2 years old. Wait till they're 13. Yeah, it'd be fun. But there was a problem in Galatia. They had been removed from another gospel. And that gospel was that they wanted to be back under the circumcision, or that they had to be circumcised. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Now, one thing that we have to do is, now I'm not saying we need to go out and start accusing people left and right and trying to throw them out of the church and this, that, and the other if they have, but I think we need to be aware if certain other gospels or other doctrines were to creep in here, if bad attitudes, I think we need to work on people with bad attitudes. Don't you want people to smile a lot more? I'm tired of people who don't. I don't like it. I don't. Church, to me, I'm telling you, Sunday morning, this morning, on Saturday morning, it's the best thing I get out of the week other than being with my lovely wife. I'm dead serious. It gets me from week to week. Sometime about Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm pulling out a sermon from somewhere on my iPhone because I need some more gospel.
Yeah.
I need it more and more each and every day. Why? Because it's just not enough for me. For some of you, maybe. I'm very thankful that I see far people have come from very long distances to be here with us this morning. And I hope you're blessed by it, but blessed by your journey. But I tell you, some of us live 5 minutes from a church and we're just like, oh, I can't believe I got to go to church this morning. And it's our attitudes. It's our attitudes. Over in chapter 3, he would go on to, after he goes through a lot of Galatians testifying of his background and his qualifications and about the gospel of grace, he goes on to tell them, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I have learned of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And I want you to know right now this morning, I do not believe that faith is my faith that I'm telling you. That is, did you hear about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? The faithfulness of His work. How did you receive the Spirit of God by His faithfulness to deliver it unto you? Did you receive it by the works of the law? Or because Christ came and died for the ungodly? I tell you, there are many out there today that would believe it's because of something they did. That's what we heard. It was almost tried to brought out on that morning broadcast. But you got to believe. It was almost, you got to believe to be born again. But that's not the point Brother Sam was trying to make. He said only by the power of God.
Right.
Like the wind that blows to and fro over in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it listeth. And no one can tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. But thou hearest the sound thereof. I tell you. That's how everyone is born of the Spirit. So for you and I today, it's only when somebody asks us how we are born again, we say only by the power, solely by the power of God. Is there something, you know, but you have to believe it. No. I don't contribute a thing. One of the greatest things that we can tell our folks, our neighbors and our friends, when they ask us about this wonderful doctrine in which we have, you tell them, if it gives glory to me or you at any point, it's a false doctrine.
Right.
Our truth that we love here so much gives all the glory back to God,
right.
Back to the Father, back to the Son, and back to the Holy Spirit, the Trinity.
Right.
That's liberty. And it's freedom that you and I have. That we are to stand fast. Don't be entangled again in that yoke of bondage. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? This very question is another phrased over in Hebrews chapter 6. He says, let us move on to perfection. After in the latter part of chapter 5, he says, you know, the sincere milk of the Word of God is for babes, but we have a desire or a need for strong meat. And the ones that have strong meat are those that can discern both good and evil. So chapter 6, let us therefore move on to perfection or maturity in the gospel. Not laying again these foundations of repentance from dead works and of baptisms and those types of things. He says, let's move on. Let's move on to perfection or into maturity He says, but we will preach those things if we need to. But he says one very straight verse. If I can find it real quick. Hebrews chapter 5, 6, verse 7, 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now that word impossible does not mean impossible the way we think. It just means very hard. See, here he says the very thing. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, believing that Christ came solely by Himself, offered Himself to God the Father? He did not offer Himself to you and me, by the way.
Right.
He died and went to the veil above, if I could say it, to the throne of God and laid it down at His feet. The sacrifice was there, not to you. The offering was not to us, but God the Father. And the reason we know it was accepted is because He was alive. He came out the third day. That is the seal that we have that the sacrifice was received. Are you so foolish, Galatians, beginning in this Spirit, beginning in this doctrine, are you now made perfect by this? The Apostle Paul says it's just so hard to have to renew that. In other words, don't get caught up in bondage. Whatever that bondage may be, don't get caught up in the false doctrines. Don't get caught up in bad attitudes. Remember, we have the best message that I've ever heard. That's why I'm preaching it.
Yes.
That's why these men preach it. If you believe something else, wouldn't you preach that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But we don't believe anything else. We believe this doctrine. Oh, foolish Galatians. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I tell you, it's just another question. Is he doing it because of the works of the law that he's doing these miracles? Or are the apostolic gifts that they were given, was he doing it by the power of God? See, we don't have the apostolic gifts anymore. That was to the apostles. It was for them, okay? But the question was to them, is he doing the miracles of God? Is he doing it by himself or is he doing it by the Spirit of God? By the power of God? Very direct questions. Now he goes on here in chapter 4 to go back. He says, and Paul was smart. Paul probably had been in a lot of conversations throughout the years. And I'm not going to dive deep into this, but he decided he had to go back before the law ever was there. He went back all the way back to Abraham, the father Abraham is the father of us all, they say. Because the promise was to his seed, the seed that was coming. Now, of course, without doing too much teaching, I just want you to know that seed was Jesus Christ. Okay? And in verse 22, of course, well, I want to make sure I summarize this good. He goes all the way back to Abraham because he wanted to go back before the law to explain that Abraham had faith. And how did he have faith? It wasn't by the hearing of Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ wasn't around. It wasn't by doing any of the works of the law. No, 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 no. Abraham had been born again solely by the power of God, which was why Abraham could say so boldly when he was taking his son Isaac up to offer him to God as he promised. And Isaac would look up to him and say, Father, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham will look at his son and say, our Lord will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham knew with great faith and great confidence of the one to come, Jesus Christ. Now, he never knew about him, and he wasn't able to see the promise come about. But he had faith in it.
Right.
And I tell you, he only got that faith by the power of God. So for us, it is, but verse 23 of Galatians 3, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith is come. Jesus Christ has come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you, I am thankful for this wonderful truth that we have. Verse 4 of chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, there's probably a lot of teaching there that I don't have time to go into. But because we are sons, because we are sons, because we know something that God has worked in us, the message was to them, because you Galatians who are sons are born again, don't go back under this other doctrine, but ye are sons of God.
Right.
God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I tell you, for you and I today, there's something that lives inside. I was talking to one of my good friends, Brother John Harden, and he's talking about meditation. And he's talking about thinking about speaking on. He's a Lycinian down in Florida. And as me and him were talking about it, we don't meditate enough with the Spirit of God. We don't sit and calmly read some scriptures and then sit back, maybe close our eyes, and just dwell on what is the Lord teaching us today. Remember the scriptures I talked to you about earlier. It says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. The last chapter of the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, would say, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Meditate. Learn of your God. Learn of His Son, Jesus Christ. Learn about Him. I love the profound statements. Me and Brother Josh were probably at... I don't think Brother Josh was there that night. We had some discussion at Bible study a couple weeks ago. But just think about the questions that the disciples had to Jesus just before Him going to the cross. Here you have His disciples that are walking with Him day in and day out. They're seeing the miracles. They're seeing Him heal. They're seeing all these marvelous things. And just even the questions that He would ask there. Chapter 14, verse 8 and 9 of John. Philip said unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And I'm sitting there thinking, Jesus is about to answer this question. And just think about the humor that is in this answer. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Have you not been with me so long? Have you not dwelled with me? Have you not been here? And I'm talking about meditating. The Spirit of God that is crying in your hearts, Abba, Father. Think about what the Spirit is talking to you. Because there, even the disciples were confused. But see, we now look into the rears and we have this glorious truth. But think about the question. It says, He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Just the profoundness of the question. It amazes me. Because we today have this Spirit that is teaching us. It's teaching us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Teaching us what? The dying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should what? Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace that God sends to us into our hearts that cries, Abba, Father, it's teaching us something. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Verse 9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? I tell you, I don't want to be in bondage. I don't want to be in bondage to depression. I don't want to be in bondage to bad attitudes. I don't want to be in bondage to some other gospel. I tell you, we have a glorious truth at this church. And I tell you, we ought to tell the next... If you leave out of here, the next person you see at the gas pump, just tell them about it. Say, you missed out today. And they'll be like, what? What did I miss out on? Just tell them about it. What do you got to be scared of? It's the best thing in this world that we have. Right. It's better than your big screen TVs, your flashy cars, your houses, and whatever else. This gospel is the best thing that we will ever have. Right. Actually, I'll say this. I'm thankful that our Lord gave us the gospel. I'm more thankful for His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord bless y'all.